910 AM, W245CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Lining up behind President Biden, despite a debate performance last night seen by many as weak, Presidents Obama and Clinton and Democratic National Committee Chair Jamie Harrison.
The vice president said it so clearly last night that a presidency is not defined by a 90-minute debate. It's about the policies and the actions that you take throughout that.
They had won campaign stops in Raleigh, North Carolina, and New York today. Mr. Biden's voice was stronger and louder. The law used by the Justice Department to prosecute some of the January 6th cases was meant for business and financial crimes. The Supreme Court says it cannot be used for that. Ukrainian troops have pushed Russian forces out of the eastern neighborhood of Chasiv Yar, a town in the Donetsk region, according to the Ukrainian military. Martin Mull, comedian, actor, singer, songwriter from the soap opera satire Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman, if the spinoff Fernwood Tonight, has died at 80. This is ABC News. Off. The jury in the high-profile case of a woman accused of running over her boyfriend, a Boston police officer, and leaving him to die, appears to be struggling.
In a note, jurors told the judge they've been unable to reach a unanimous verdict in the second-degree murder trial of Karen Reed. The Norfolk County judge did not accept their claim, ordering them to continue deliberations after lunch, saying this is just the fourth day of deliberations in a complex case. Karen Reed's denied any role in the 2022 death of her boyfriend, John O'Keefe.
I think things went too far. It was late. There was alcohol involved.
She's alleged a police cover-up. Brian Clark, ABC News.
A judge in New Mexico today denied Alec Baldwin's request to dismiss the case against him in the deadly shooting on the set of the movie Rust. Baldwin faces involuntary manslaughter charges for accidentally killing the head camera operator, Helena Hutchins. Defense claims the gun that fired accidentally was destroyed when in FBI testing. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Photographs, paperwork, and stories about the LGBTQ plus movement in our state now being collected for the Wisconsin First Archive Project. It's a new effort to preserve and celebrate the history and national legacy of Wisconsin as the first state to prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation. Organizers say providing this history in one place will improve awareness and keep these memories alive. The effort is being led by Our Lives Media, a Madison-based nonprofit, which will offer a free online archive. It's a proud moment during this Pride Month to remember the fight for equal rights includes equality for all. I'm Terry Barr.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave died unexpectedly on Friday. Delagrave was first elected in 2015. County Board Chair Tom Kramer will serve as the acting county executive until the position is filled. Delagrave was born and raised in Racine County and lived in the area his entire life. Milwaukee leaders are calling for an end to gun violence after 2 days of multiple shootings. Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman spoke at a press conference Thursday.
And we as a community need to step up and say, enough! Enough! Show our young ones how to resolve these issues in a productive way. Do something!
15 people were shot in Milwaukee on Wednesday and Thursday. A man, a pregnant woman, and a one-year-old baby were killed. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the Chicago Cubs, and manager Craig Counsell, whose team has lost three of their last four series, the Cubs right now in last place in the NL Central.
This is the way the game works. You're going to have a result, and you're going to have a game the next day. And you can't let the result for the night before affect the result, the play the next day. Obviously, we're not getting the results we want.
The NBA draft wrapped up. The Bucks selecting guard A.J. Johnson and 6'11" forward Tyler Smith out of Houston, Texas. There were a lot of trades for picks last night in the second round. Did the Bucks receive a lot of offers to give up their pick at number 33?
Yeah, I mean, especially where we were, there was a lot of conversation, calls from agents, calls from other teams wanting to move up into our spot, into our position. But we had our process in place and knew that if our player was there, we were definitely going to select that player.
That's the Bucks assistant general manager, Milt Newton. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight with scattered showers and thunderstorms and lows in the upper 60s. Partial sunshine for tomorrow, still a chance of storms and highs in the upper 60s. Lots of sun and low 70s Sunday. Increasing clouds Monday, a chance of storms by night, highs low 70s. It's 67
right
now.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Representative Mark Pocan joins us to talk about National Postal Workers Day, and we'll hear from Dean Muller with the Wisconsin for Environmental Justice. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home.
You're listening to pre-recorded radio content produced by Civic Media.
This is a conversation I had with the great Leonard Peltier. Please listen and happy Indigenous Peoples Day.
All right. Well, what can I do for you? I mean, is it good to get you letters? We can really promote that.
Well, right now they're Ruth Buffalo. She's a legislator from North Dakota. She's
good
been
friend.
Doing some awesome.
She's
well, as you know, she got a. You got the Democratic Convention, Democratic Convention to pass a resolution demanding my freedom. Now, unanimous votes, and then she got to see Biden, and she only allowed to ask one question. She asked for him to free me, so he told her to give all the information to his aides.
Wow.
And so that's what we're but right now. We're working on. We're trying to help her. Some figure out how. We got to try to help her. Make sure she gets reelected.
Right.
But listen, Robert. I also think this is our time. This is where finally started. Every Indian that's been running has been winning.
Yes.
Native, not Indian. Not that's from India.
Ah.
Indigenous. Indigenous people, right? We just married, just come beat in Alaska. I think you know about
that
this.
That was crazy, yeah. First time in 50 years.
She beat Sarah Palin. Alaska conservatives, little darling.
Exactly.
And we're winning it. But anyway, I believe it's time for her, for us to run her for congressman in North Dakota. Not congressman, governor.
Yeah.
I think she can win. I really believe she could win.
Do you have anything to say to her? Because I can relay this.
I just talked to her the other. I talked to her too on the phone all the time.
Oh, excellent!
Yeah.
Excellent.
Excellent. I asked her this about a month ago. She would she be considering running? But she said, "Oh, sure." She needs help. She needs help. Yeah. Huh?
I was in a fundraiser for her a couple days ago, and people were talking about Senator. That would be cool.
Well, either one, that would be very, very useful too. That would be very helpful to Native Nations.
So,
what can
I do for you? What can I send you anything or, you know?
I'm in a very strict place and there's very little I can do. But listen, I have low points. I should be in a camp. And now the government, the courts are saying, prosecutors are saying I was found not guilty of murder because they don't know who the shooter is, and
right.
You know all this. But,
right.
but now that I'm guilty of aiding and abetting. Aiding and abetting is not even a violent crime.
You should have been out.
So I've done 47 years on a nonviolent crime.
I know.
But that's not true. It's just a making it. That's all they're doing.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they're just making it up.
I feel so honored that you've called me. I just can't tell you.
Well, I'll be calling you a little bit often now. Okay, then so I can reach you just about any time I call, right?
Exactly. And unless, God, I just, say something to my audience right now, and then I can put this on the air, too.
Okay, well, what we're doing right now is, since Biden has asked the aide to get all of the information from to his aide, and then he's going to bring it to him. But we're trying to set a delegation up to go to Ruth as one. I want Ruth to go. Then the U.S. attorney, you know, publicly apologized to what he did to me at the trial. Unheard of, first time in history, blah, blah, blah. But, and I don't think maybe my lawyer or the tribal chairman, because they promised to build a house on my land if I get home, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, these are all the requirements to get out and, you know, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And, anyway, I also told people, listen, let's help this move along. Let's get 100,000 letters to the president asking him to release me, because mm-hmm. there is no, and we got to mention the case. They can't just say, you know, we pray you'll release him. We can't just say, because the Pope has asked for my freedom, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't see, he's supposed to be a Catholic. So we need, some people are saying, the hell with that, let's get 200,000. I said, look, let's just go for 100 first, then we'll keep going, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I need people to help me that way, to please help me.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we'll get postcards out there set up and get the address to the president's office and make this happen. That's a great idea, and that's very simple for people to do.
Yeah, it just costs a stamp and an envelope and a sheet of paper, but write legibly and make sure that, you know, just tell people, people should mention, instead of just pray, I pray that you let him out and all this stuff. Tell them you're outraged at what they did, because this is the Constitution they violated.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if they did this in the military, if they violated the way they did in the military, you know, they'd get executed.
Right.
You know.
Right.
That's how serious of offense it is.
Well, when you get out, it's going to be like Mandela, and the natives are all the natives, and Indians across Turtle Island are waiting for this to happen. So here's something tangible that they can do.
Well, I appreciate all that, and I'll do whatever I can when I get out if I'm allowed to travel. Got to remember, I'm going to probably be on some very strict. Order. I hope not, but mm-hmm. I probably will. But if I don't, you know, I will go and speak to them. I will go and, you know, but I'm not going to stop helping my people. I've been at this all my life, mm-hmm. ever since I was 9 years old when I went to boarding school. Mm-hmm. And, but right now I need some help. Take the time to write a letter on my behalf. And we need, let's get 100,000. Then some people are demanding 200,000. Then we'll go for the 200, you know, and more, because they're going to need the votes. They're going to need the support.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, that's what I need. I need people to help me now,
right.
You know.
And they will, and I appreciate this. I think we're going to be cut off soon here.
Yeah, right. Pretty quick.
I'm going to put that on. Probably Wednesday, so when I edit this.
Okay.
But, wow, I just feel so honored that you called, and I've been just following you. I was friends of Clyde Belcourt until he passed a couple years ago. You know all those guys, you know?
I know all of them. I was really close to Dennis and Vernon Belcourt. I was real close to them. I've been in a struggle since the 60s, bro. 50s, actually, because, you know, the Turtle Mountain Chippewa Reservation was the second reservation to be terminated. Menominees, then the Turtle Mountains, right? Yeah. We stopped them there. We stopped them. I was only 13 years old, but my dad and them were all out there raising hell, took over the agency, took us there. You didn't even pay us for what you stole from us, and now you want to take our little reservation? Okay, we're getting close. Yeah. You know, now you want to take our little reservation? No. That ain't going to happen without a fight, you know.
Well, with your
and that was 1958.
Well, with your work with the American Indian Movement made us young people proud to be Indian, and I want to say thank you.
We put our lives on the line. We put our lives on the line for the people because we said, you know, what good is of it? We seen what happened with the Indians that relocated to the cities and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we seen that. We said, we don't want that. We, you know, and look how good we've done after we did start getting funds of taking care of our own government and everything else like this. We got universities, we got colleges, we got vocational schools, we got homes for elders and retirement homes, and you know, we're using that money, at least most of us are using that money to build a nation. We're not giving it out to the...
That was Leonard Peltier. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awakened. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Alusa Nation.
Anin, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awakened. We're here with Rachel Thunder, who's doing the Leonard Peltier Walk for Justice, and we're just doing our weekly check-in or every other day check-in. It's really exciting to see what you're doing. Welcome, Rachel.
Tante Robert, and Tante to everybody who's listening. Thank you.
So that's where are you at as of, we're pre-recording this on Sunday. Where are you at as of today?
So the walk is about 30 miles west of Toledo, Ohio, as of right now. And our goal is to get into Toledo tomorrow in the beginning of the day on Tuesday. And we'll be having a rally Tuesday at a park there in Toledo, Ohio. That'll be at 2 p.m.
Yeah, that's cool. So just to let everybody know that isn't paying attention or just listening for the first time on our show, Rachel and the American Indian Movement Grand Council has done a walk or doing a walk that started in the Twin Cities and is going to end up in Washington, D.C. on November 14th. And that's a long way to walk, Rachel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we started on September the 1st at Cedar Field right there next to Little Earth on the south side of Minneapolis. And walking to Washington, D.C., like you said, Robert. It's about 2.5 months total of walking. It's 1,103 miles. We're averaging about 25 miles a day with our core group of walkers. And, you know, like you said, this walk is called Leonard Peltier's Walk to Justice. It's coming straight out of the American Indian Movement Grand Governing Council. You know, the walk is, you know, we call it the Walk to Justice because that's what we're asking for. We're asking for justice for Elder Leonard Peltier, for him to be free, but we're also asking for justice for our people, for the indigenous people, the true and original people of Turtle Island. You know, justice for them and all of these issues that we still face and have faced since the beginning of colonization. And, you know, Leonard, he represents a lot of those injustices, you know. They tried to make an example out of him. You know, they tried to say, you know, if you resist us and you resist the system and you resist colonization and, you know, you don't leave your traditional ways behind, then this is what's going to happen. And, you know, it didn't work. You know, even though Leonard is still in prison, their efforts and their attempts to silence and control our people, it didn't work because we're very much still here. We still have our traditional ceremonies. We still have our languages, our songs, our cultures, our people, our tribes are all intact. So, you know, their attempts, it didn't work. So, you know, the only thing that they can do now is let him go.
Exactly. And for you people out there listening, our white allies, and of course our Native brothers and sisters, Leonard was part of the American Indian Movement, which for me, being a 61-year-old man, really inspired a lot of us in my generation because we weren't always proud to be Native American. We hid in the bushes, so to speak, until this proud group of American Indian Movement people came out and said, enough's enough. And that's just a short version of it, Rachel.
Yeah, well, Leonard's been in prison for, you know, going on 47 years. He's 78 years old. I'm 31. You know, every single breath that I have taken, there's been a magic breath from Leonard behind prison walls, behind prison bars. You know, I grew up hearing the stories and hearing what happened. You know, I'm an Ames baby. I grew up in Ames. You know, my parents were in Ames. And, you know, it's far past time. You know, he's done over 47 years for a nonviolent crime, for aiding and abetting. It's a nonviolent crime. He's been eligible for parole. You know, and like you said, too, you know, I heard you mention, like, our allies, you know, our white allies and other nation allies. You know, and to that I'll say that, you know, it is an indigenous issue as far as, you know, what Leonard represents to our people, but this is also a human rights issue, you know, as a human being, that if they can do this to a human being, they can do it to any human being. And I'm pretty sure you probably saw the United Nations Human Rights Working Group report that came out where they had 107 different points on how Leonard's basic human rights has been violated over the years. And they made a direct request to the United States government to respond to them by, I believe, middle of November of this year on what the status was of Leonard Peltier's release. So, and then there was the Democratic National Committee, too, you know, officially adding Peltier's clemency to the Democratic platform, to the running platform, which is unheard of, to have a clemency request added to a party's platform. So you see, like, all of these things, you know, happening, you know, this walk is happening, all of these efforts across Turtle Island and the world for Leonard Peltier to be released. And, you know, I know, Robert, you're really big on the Native vote. And that's something that, you know, we've discussed, like, strategically as the movement and other, you know, entities and organizations and individuals and legal that we have talked to is, you know, it's really important for these officials that are in these positions of influence, members of Congress, to understand that, you know, they need the Native vote. They need the Native vote in these states where, you know, that these influential states like Arizona, like Michigan, like Wisconsin, the Native vote matters in those states. And if they want the Native vote, if they want Native vote to show out, then they need to start doing some stuff for Native people, like letting Leonard Peltier go. And I know they've got some really important elections coming up, and they might want to be thinking about that instead of just doing acts of tokenism for our people.
You know, that's a really good point. In the last presidential, I was at the Native American Presidential Forum, the first one ever in Iowa, and I was there as a reporter for my show, and I asked every one of the presidential candidates at the time, I just said, I'm going to say two words and I want your response, and it was Leonard Peltier. And I got a lot of mumbo jumbo. I had a few of them that didn't know. And so that's a really good point. We need to bring up these things that mean the most. You know, for me, it would be like having Mandela or, you know, get out of prison. This would rally us a big time in a good way and make us all feel good. And I think it's something, you know, Leonard's 78, you know. He's been in there 47 years. Give us this.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. And, you know, like something that Leonard himself really advocates for is the importance of writing and calling the White House. So I know that we've had a lot of people reach out to us, like, about this walk, you know, I can't be there for whatever reason, which is, we understand there's a lot of reasons that people can't be here, but they ask, you know, what can we do? We say call and write the White House. If every single person who was listening to this radio show wrote a letter White House demanding the urgency of clemency for Leonard Peltier, demanding his release, you know, and making it an urgent matter, that could be really, really powerful. And so we understand that there's a lot of warriors out there and people who fight for the people, you know, that fight for all people, not even just our people. And, you know, we're putting that call out. You know, if you can't be here on this walk or you can't be present, like at our rallies or in D.C., there's a lot of other things that you can do. And one of them, and one of the most important things you can do is call and write the White House.
Yes, definitely. And earlier on in the show today, we're having Leonard. We had Leonard on, and that's what he said. We need 100,000 or 200,000 people, and everybody that's listening to the show, and just into justice, need to send the president not prayers. Remove, you know, at the end of our show, you know, Rachel, we always say free Leonard Peltier now. And that's huge because it's justice. Like you're doing there, it's justice.
Yep, call and write the White House. You know, call and write your local members of Congress. You know, House members, senators. Call and write people in the Bureau of Prisons, the Department of Justice. All of those entities that are in those positions of influence to see Leonard released, write them, put pressure on them. And like you said, Robert, not in a gentle way, because this is urgent. He is 78. He has type 2 diabetes. He has an abdominal aortic aneurysm, the fatal as it ruptured. He had a stroke that he lost 80% of vision in one of his eyes. Mm. You know, it's time to let him go home. It's past time. He should have never even been in there to begin with. The only thing that he's guilty of, in his own words, is fighting for his people.
Right. Well, hey, we're here with Rachel Thunder with a Grand Governing Council of American Indian Movement, and she's on the Leonard Peltier's Walk for Justice, which ends up in November 14th in Washington, D.C. Peeny Geegee, Rachel, and happy a day before, and I guess it is today where this will be heard. Indigenous Peoples Day, and thank you so much for what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you, Robert, for having me on. And if anybody wants to get connected with the walk, we have a Facebook page that we do daily updates. You can reach out to us there. That's Leonard Peltier's Walk for Justice on Facebook.
Well, Peeny Geegee, thanks again, and we'll be in touch again. Thank you so much for spending this time and in really telling our audience and educating our audience, and that's what we're all about here on Native Roots Radio Presents. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Lining up behind President Biden, despite a debate performance last night seen by many as weak, Presidents Obama and Clinton and Democratic National Committee Chair Jamie Harrison.
The Vice President said it so clearly last night that a presidency is not defined by a 90-minute debate. It's about the policies and the actions that you take throughout that.
They had won campaign stops in Raleigh, North Carolina, and New York today. Mr. Biden's voice was stronger and louder. The law used by the Justice Department to prosecute some of the January 6 cases was meant for business and financial crimes. The Supreme Court says it cannot be used for that. Ukrainian troops have pushed Russian forces out of the eastern neighborhood of Chasiv Yar, a town in the Donetsk region, according to the Ukrainian military. Martin Mull, comedian, actor, singer, songwriter from the soap opera satire Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman, if the spinoff Fernwood Tonight, has died at 80. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Reactions are split along party lines after Thursday night's presidential debate. Wisconsin Republican strategist Reince Priebus.
The reality is, it was actually a sad, embarrassing night for the president. His family should have sat him down weeks ago and told him, you know, Dad, you know, your spouse, look, It's time to step aside.
Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chair Ben Wickler says Donald Trump is still the wrong choice for Wisconsin. a second teenager from Lincoln Hills Youth Prison, is charged in the death of a staff member. 17-year-old Ryan Nyblom was arrested with 16-year-old Javarius Hurd after they attacked 49-year-old Corey Prolks, who was declared brain dead on Tuesday. Nyblom faces charges of felony murder and battery. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The ladies of The View are always outspoken, to say the least, especially one in particular. Joy Behar recently said she still plans to get it on with a woman. When asked by fellow hosts Sandra Bernhard and Judy Gold if she's ever been with a woman, the 81-year-old Behar says no, but someday I will be. Behar clarified that she would do it when she was in her 90s. Sexy. It wouldn't be totally unheard of for Behar to take a walk on the wild side late in life. She met her current husband, Steve Janowitz, at a semi-nudist colony in 1982. Behar says Janowitz was naked. She was not, adding that for her to be naked in front of a man, she has to be in his will. The couple dated for 30 years before tying the knot in 2011. When asked why their courtship lasted so long, Behar said they wanted to wait until both sets of parents were dead so there'd be no in-laws. Behar was married to her previous husband, Joe, for 19 years, who I'm guessing she met playing Spin the Bottle. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight with scattered showers and thunderstorms and lows in the upper 60s. Partial sunshine for tomorrow, still a chance of storms and highs in the upper 60s. Lots of sun and low 70s Sunday. Increasing clouds Monday, a chance of storms by night, highs low 70s. It's 67 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
This broad reaching, well, we can't help people because we can't control how they spend the money, somehow magically doesn't apply to billionaires, doesn't apply to corporations who dodge their taxes every year. The only people who are subject to the conservative morality police are poor people. How dare you?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, DJ Olbrus joins me to talk about Riverfest lacrosse. And from the Green Bay Children's Museum, Heather Heil is in studio to talk 4th of July in Green Bay.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hi, Bujou, Anin, everybody. This is Ogamaganua Kwe on Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Happy Indigenous Peoples Day to all of you. This is going to be a best of show, and we're kind of taking it easy for Indigenous Peoples Day. So without further ado, we are going to have a replay of our interviews with Bobby Wilson, Bobby Wilson Dews, who is Reservation Dogs and Rutherford Falls writer and actor. So here, have a listen.
Well, I'm really excited to have Bobby Wilson. You know, a 1491er, also Rutherford Falls, and he's got his hands involved in a lot of different things in Hollywood. And I'm just really excited. I want to talk a little bit about what Bobby's doing and you know, how this experience was with Rutherford Falls and all those great things. I'm just really excited to have Bobby Wilson, the character of Wayne from Rutherford Falls and the writer in the first season. Welcome, Bobby. And you're from the Twin Cities. That makes our heart proud, too. Great. Thank you so much for being on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mr. Pilots.
That's right. Well, that's right. We crossed paths back in the 90s there as a teacher. I think I was going outside to smoke a cigarette, and I think you
were. What was I?
Yeah, you were coming in from smoking a cigarette, so what different times we had. But hey, really excited. I love your work. And really, you wrote a show. You wrote one of the shows of Rutherford Falls, but also your character's fun. And tell us a little bit how you got hired or how they found you.
Yeah, I the showrunner Sierra Teller Ornelas, she's Navajo. I had done like a panel with her that she was a moderator of, that was centered around like the work of the 1491s back in Santa Fe, and that was years ago. And like we kind of had crossed paths here and there, but you know, like Indian country is very small, so. Yeah, I would just kind of always see her around, and I knew that she was writing in Hollywood, and I always was like, every time I got to see her, I'd be like, how come nobody like knows where who you are? Like, you know, I go to all these Indian conferences with the 1491s to do like performances or what have you, and like every time people are like talking about representation, and I bring up Sierra Teller Ornelas being a network comedy writer, people are like, who's that? I've never heard of that. And I'm like, well, freaking like. Get familiar, you know, like she's a beast and she's been working at this for a long time. And so she got her own show with Mike Schur and Ed Helms. And she had reached out to a couple of us from the 1491s. We had written a play called Between Two Knees at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in Ashland, Oregon. Yeah, it's a familial intergenerational love story that takes place beginning at the massacre of Wounded Knee. And culminating at the occupation of Wounded Knee. So everything that happens between those knees is what we see. And she thought, she says she loved it. She says she loved it. And so she reached out and asked if I had any writing samples because she had a show that she was trying to put a writing staff together for. And I was like, oh, yeah, I do. I have stuff that I've written just by myself. So I sent it to her. I basically had a job interview with her and Ed Helms and, then on my birthday, November 3rd, 2019, she sent me a message, again, all completely over Instagram, saying that I was hired and that I should get a lawyer to negotiate my contract.
Wow, so, that's yeah. Totally awesome. Yeah, tell us a little bit about your character, because I love the character. There's you and a lady working at the casino. I just love it. And just kind of being a kind of a narrative towards one of the lead characters. I just love it. Can you tell us a little bit how that came about? Was there any typecasting?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. Whenever we was coming up with this character, Wayne, it's Wayne and Sally, and like I guess they're probably like kind of cousin brother sisters. Like we've been very fluid with like how everybody's related in the show as. We should be because that's just how it is. But Wayne is he's kind of grumpy, but also like the subtext is that he genuinely cares about Regan and what it is that she's doing. That's why he gives her is because he loves her. Wayne and Sally, they both treat her like garbage. Even though like it's a little bit like where we talk about crabs in a bucket. We talk about this like Indian jealousy type of thing. We try to touch on those things sort of without calling it that. Except in the season finale, we finally actually call it crabs in a bucket. I love that character though. All those characters.
Well, I love the fact, and I don't know, we were talking before the show, so I don't know if I mentioned this. I love the fact because I feel like it really has a lot of heart and it reminds me a lot of Smoke Signals. And in one way too, there's so much going on. I'm going, I got to watch that again because there's a lot of information coming out here. And during every episode, I was like really surprised. I'd go to my wife. I go, did you hear what he just said? You know, so it's really good because I feel like it's amplifying Native voice. We're still here in a good way.
Yeah. In a good way. Oh. Wise words from Choka Robert. I'm not Ho-Chunk, but I always like that word.
Right. And you're my Chushka, my nephew. Oh. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit. I know your time's valuable. And let's talk a little bit about the other the other things you're working on, because this Monday, right, there's another series, a Native-centric series that you're involved in. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, hell yeah. Reservation Dogs on FX. I'm so excited for the premiere. Like, I'm so very excited for so many different reasons that would take, like, a day to tell you about. But, like, I, as one of the writers, I get, like, access to what they call the dailies. And the dailies are just, like, it's just when they dump all of the footage onto the server at the end of the day. And I'm allowed to, like, watch them. And, you know, it's just raw cuts. So it's, like, every single scene and it's, like, them setting it up and blah, 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 blah. But you really get, like, to see the performances of the actors and whatever. I intentionally didn't watch any of them. Ooh. Because I wanted to experience this as a weekly release. I want this to be one of my shows that, because I love that experience. I have, like, only a couple shows that still do that, you know, that I get to wait for. I'm like, yeah, here comes Saturday. Like, I'm going to watch my show. And, you know, with a lot of streamers, they just dump the whole season on, and you can binge it in, like, a day or two, you know, if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm very excited to experience this show every week, because it is unlike anything I have ever seen on television.
Hey, and the trailers are rocking. I'm just going, wow, what?
I know.
And just being a big fan of Reservoir Dogs, I mean, seeing the suits and everything, I'm going, hey, what's the deal here? But wow, totally excited. So what are the 1491ers doing?
We're all hired. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. We're doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Ogma, do you have a question at all?
You know, I didn't have a question, but I did want to pop in, you know, talking about Rutherford Falls and the 1491s and those kinds of things. It's really an experience as a Native person to say, they just said that on TV. It takes your breath away, because it's these things that are so familiar to us in our lives that are almost never portrayed accurately on the big screen. So it's breathtaking, the kind of work that you're doing. It's really beautiful, and I truly appreciate it. I've been talking about, we need more real Native representation in media for a long time. So thank you for your work.
Well, and then the episode that you wrote was called
Skoden.
Oh, yeah. Right on. We won't talk about that, though. We'll keep that on the low pro, but all our Natives know what's up. So how is that experience? I mean, how is it an experience? Because you're going to be writing for Reservation Dogs, too, right? And how's that experience? We only got a minute left, but how's that experience thinking up an idea, putting it on paper, and then seeing it on video or on the screen? How is that experience? Is that like, wow?
Mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing, man. I mean, like, you do all this stuff, like, I don't know, you it's all in your head. You write it, you edit it, you talk about it, and, like, the writing experience is you write for 20 weeks, and, like, you just hope that it's still funny by the end of that, because by then you've edited all the jokes, you, like, and you're like, is this still a good story? I remember laughing when I first came up with this. And then you see the actors bring it to life. You see the all the people involved in the production. Hundreds of people put this stuff together. They literally built a casino interior in Hollywood, you know?
Yeah.
It looks like a Chica casino. And it looks so good.
Right.
I remember I walked in there and I was just like, I couldn't believe it. Like, I had goosebumps by how incredible it was to see this thing form and become reality, and then to, like, turn it on TV and, like, watch it with my daughter, and she's like, looked at me, she looked at the TV, she's like, what's going on here? Like, it's truly phenomenal, and it's mind-blowing.
Well, let's talk about Reservation Dogs, and we gotta fly. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and Bobby, that's coming up Monday, this Monday, right?
It's coming up this Monday, filmed entirely on location in Oklahoma, the Muskogee Creek Nation. Ooh, I'm not one of them, but, you know, I go there a lot, so.
Pinigigi for being on.
Pidamaya for having me. Yeah.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Native American Community Development Institute's Make Voting a Tradition is a culturally specific, year-round, multi-generational approach to increase voter turnout and civic engagement. The fundamental principle of MVAT is that Native Americans are more likely to become politically active when engaged by peers and family. MVAT has created partnerships with local, statewide, and national efforts to increase turnout in BIPOC and other traditionally low turnout groups. Go to NACDI.org, NACDI.org, to learn more.
At Metro State University, students learn from expert instructors in high-demand degree programs such as healthcare, technology, cybersecurity, teaching, and business. As one of the most diverse universities in Minnesota, Metro State University is a flexible learning environment dedicated to equity, inclusion, and anti-racism. Explore more than 60 high-quality undergraduate programs at Metro State University's open house, online October 11th through 13th, and in person October 19th and 20th. Visit metrostate.edu for details.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
We're so blessed here to have Bobby Wilson of Rutherford Falls, 1490 Oneers, and also of Reservation Dogs. And let's finish up our conversation a little bit, Bobby. Thank you so much for being on again. Let's finish up we're wrapping up the season of Rutherford Falls, and you're about to do some voiceover work, some dubbing. And then how fun is this, Mr. Hollywood, huh?
Oh, man, you know, how fun is it? Shoot, man. I can't quantify it, but these are the best days of my life.
Right on. So how many shows Rutherford Falls is going to have when their season opens? Is it 8 again?
Yeah, it's an eight episode season.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, let's go into Reservation Dogs, and I know that's a huge hit. In you guys were re-upped for another season. I think I guess my first question is, how did it feel as working with Mr. Farmer? I mean, I'm like enamored with you, but I can't imagine working with him and thinking nothing but smoke signals.
Yeah, man. I Gary Farmer is a legend, not just for Indians, but for white people who are super into cinema, Gary Farmer is still a legend. I mean, look at his filmography, you know, Dead Man, the Jim Jarmusch film from way back. Starring him and Johnny Depp, and really more than Johnny Depp, that is Gary Farmer's movie. He's incredible in like everything that he does. And so like he's actually in an episode of Rutherford Falls season 1. He plays my uncle. We don't actually interact together in that episode, but I remember the set writer, and mind you, this man, the set writer, the production writer that day, he was like a joke writer for Kimmel. He was he's been writing on big network comedies for many, many years. And he comes to me and he says, "Dude, like, that's Gary Farmer, and I want to give him a note, but also like I kind of don't. I'm a little bit scared to talk to him." I'm like, "Why are you scared to talk to him?" He goes, "Are you kidding me? Have you seen Dead Man? Like, that's Gary Farmer." I was like, "Oh yeah, okay." So it was fun. Like, I think if this was my first time with him, I might have been a little bit more nervous. But I've had weird, like, run-ins with Gary Farmer because he's just that legendary over the years. The first time I ever went to Santa Fe, New Mexico, I saw him perform as Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers, his band. Wow. And he was like his own roadie, and me, Sterling Harjo, and Ryan Redcorn got like shamed into, like, because we were like standing there watching him. And it was like, wow, man, how old do you think he is? Look at that. He's so big. He's like carrying all his own equipment still. And somebody says, well, go over there and help him. That's your elder. And we were like, oh, shit. We all got up. And like, yeah, we went over, helped him out. And I was like, wow, that's Victor's dad. And then, you know, I would always see him just like randomly in places. I ran into him once in the Twin Cities at the Indian Center. I like freaking seen him just like on the streets in Santa Fe, just bopping around. And then to have him in Reservation Dogs was absolutely phenomenal. I had been in love with this character already, Uncle Brownie. Like, I knew exactly, like, this is going to be amazing. This is such a crazy character. And what a, like, to get Gary Farmer to play that character, what a blessing, what a trip. And I'll tell you what, man, that scene, I'm smoking him down, you know, he's trying to sell me his old weed that he found, that he buried in his lawn, like, years ago, you know what I mean? And sorry, I said I wouldn't cuss, I keep forgetting, it's just my natural way of speaking. But so he goes to the dispensary, and my character Jumbo is like, I can't buy this, man. Like, or no, I test it out, and it just like kills my throat. I'm just
like, harsh down.
And he's like, he's all good stuff, yeah. And yeah. I'm like, no, man, no, I can't buy this, you know. And it's an antique. And then Paulina Willie Jack, she goes, hey Jumbo, like, Why don't you smoke Uncle down? And I'm like, oh, I got something for you. I pull out this big bong. And, you know, it's funny, like, on the set, we're not smoking actual, like, THC weed, but we are smoking weed. But it's like the O'Doul's of weed. It's just CBD. It's purely CBD. There's no, like, whatever the stuff that gets you stoned.
Yeah.
But it's actual, like, weed and plant, you know? And so, like, we stuff it in there. And Gary tells me right before we start filming that part, he goes, I can't just fake it. I can't fake it. It's not going to look good. It's not going to look good. And, you know, people are like, you don't have to hit it. You don't have to hit it, Gary. It's it's fine. Like, he's got an actual lighter. He can actually hit it. It's a real bong. And he's like, they're like, we'll just, you know, with effects, we'll make the smoke come out. It'll look real. And he's like, no, it's going to look bad. It's going to look bad. So I'm actually going to hit it. And I see him go for it. He fills that whole bong full of smoke all the way up. And I'm like, oh my, fills the whole bong up. He pulls that sucker out and he freaking clears it. All the smoke goes up and he just like coughs his smoke everywhere. And like inside I'm going, oh my God, like this man is going to die. But I don't want to mess up the scene because he just did this crazy thing. And so I'm just like, hey, you know, really just trying to play into it and not ask him if he's okay and wants to sit down. And he looks at me in his eyes. He's just like, there's just tears running down his eyes. There's snot coming out of his nose. He's drooling. And he goes, it's good stuff.
That's awesome.
Poor guy.
That's awesome, though. Yeah,
no, it was amazing.
You know, from the days of Powwow Highway to, you know, it's just, it's Uh-oh, really great
can
to
you
see.
Hear me?
Yeah.
Way-o, way-o.
Can you hear me?
Everybody say way-o. Yeah, I can hear you.
Good. Okay, go. Wow. Bobby, that was a great story. Just working with those icons and the Native American voice getting out there in comedy. And I just want to say thank you so much for doing that. We got another minute or two here. Can you just... Are you excited for Reservation Dogs like I am? What's the vibe going on?
Oh, man, I am so freaking pumped about season two. It is bananas. Like, getting a second season of a show, like, gives you so much permission to do so much more, especially with how successful season one was of Reservation Dogs. It's like going into we start filming in Oklahoma in mid-March, and we're going to go until May. I get to be on set this whole time as a production writer, which I'm super pumped and super nervous for, but it's going to be great. I can't wait. You know, I got
Miguezi Pinto and Tazba Chavez as my cohort for production writers. So, you know, they've got a lot of seasoned experience on me. So I'm so freaking excited to see how insane this thing is.
If you need an old Ho-Chunk to come down and do a cameo, let me know. I'll fly down on the first plane. Choka pilot.
We'll see you there, Choka. Yeah. I can't wait for the junior elder scene. Do I bring him a plate? Do I not? I don't know.
Yeah, he gets his own, I think. Yeah. or the junior elder like myself, it just looks sad when the other elders are getting their plates. So yeah. I'll practice doing that. But yeah, appreciate you spending some time with us. And really, you're making us here. I know you're an old and a young employee too. I got to give you a shout out on that. You and Dallas, which blows my mind. That organization's still going on, and I have a lot of former students that are working there. And it's a great legacy that you had.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's freaking crazy to think about. Staying at Andy Young as a teenager, and then now I'm just like, I don't know, writing TV and getting flown around to be on it. I'm freaking blessed, man.
You are,
and my ancestors every day.
Pini Gigi, you are blessed, and we're blessed to have you on. And thank you so much for all you do, and all the good words and the great spirit that comes through you and your characters and your writing. I really, really appreciate this time.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we take a look back at what happened over the weekend and get you prepared for July 4th. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin Chairs Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for childcare by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Some potential voter reactions to last night's debate between former President Trump and President Biden are not positive in Detroit.
It's no longer the conversation, I guess, for like lesser of two evils for me. It's more of like, both of these candidates don't feel like viable options.
Singer and activist Elton John joined President Biden today at the Stonewall National Monument Visitor Center grand opening ceremony in New York. More trouble for the Boeing Starliner capsule that carried two NASA astronauts to the International Space Station. They have to troubleshoot a few problems. More than 2 years after the deadly elementary school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, the former school district police chief and one of his officers are charged for the delay in confronting the shooter. Consumer prices were flat from April to May, the mildest performance in more than 4 years, according to a key inflation report to which the Federal Reserve pays attention. This is ABC News.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko, deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny, weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Republican legislators continue to sit on $125 million that should be used right now to clean PFAS out of contaminated drinking water and groundwater across Wisconsin because they don't like the governor's line item vetoes, to which the proper legal response is, too bad. You don't have the votes. Stop being crybabies about it.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Say you never give in to it.